Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Welcome to Geek Enders. It is April the 10th, my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mama Dukes.
Happy birthday. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, lots of April birthdays in my life, oddly enough.
Lots of May birthdays in my life.
I was going to say, you're a maybe baby, aren't you?
That's true. So is my mother. So is a lot of the people that I know. Yeah. Wow. We're all May babies.
My father-in-law, my mom, and my daughter are all April babies.
I'm still upset about that daughter thing.
I know.
I'll go to my grave being mad about that.
I forgot that was such a sore subject.
I'll go to my grave being mad about that. I had May 1st. It was my time. It was my time.
What did I do?
Oh,
I'm
but
so
we
sorry.
Had to like induce labor. Yeah, all right. I see how this is.
I've seen that excuse a million times.
You just can't let me be happy. I see. I see what it is.
How are you doing, buddy?
Good, 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 good. Did you do any kind of like Eastery things? Do you have like a little? Did you do it on the farm? Was it just kind of like?
Yeah.
Was it a group of kids or was it literally just Clark?
We do it with all of the kids in the family that are down to show up, and we color code it. So it's a scavenger hunt. So it'll like this year it was 10 different locations on the farm, and they went from queue to queue to queue. And at each area, each kid had one egg that was in their color to find. And so they would all like help each other find their eggs. And a couple of the kids can't have dairy in our family, so it makes it easier to be like, as long as you have your eggs, you can eat whatever is in that egg, kind of a thing.
Okay, sure, that's fun.
Yeah.
Also, a very kind way of doing it, considering a lot of the times there's one kid who's like, eggs, and gets all of them.
Yeah, I didn't find any. Yeah, in the family, in Sam's family, they've averaged a baby a year, right? So like some of them, I know. So some of them are older. Clark's one of the older kids, but there's also a literal baby, right? So the older kids would power walk once they figured out the clue. They'd start power walking to the next place. But we had to be like, you cannot start looking until all of the kids are here, because otherwise they'd just find their eggs and be like, next, where are we going next? You know? So we tried to make it more collaborative.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
There's part of me that would love the idea of the older kids, theirs are like more out in the wilderness or whatever. But the babies are all right in front of the
They're
baby. And it's
right
like, go
there.
Crawl and get those. And the baby's like trying so hard.
Dude,
my sounds
favorite,
really funny to me.
My favorite part of the whole thing was one of the locations was the chicken coop. And one of the kids was like, I cannot find my egg. The kids were looking everywhere. And it turned out it was literally under a chicken. One of the chickens had just sat on it.
That chicken gets it. That chicken was like, my time.
They were like, I don't know what this egg is, but I must protect it biologically.
Been there. Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand completely.
What do you do around this time of year?
So I will tell you in a sec, but I just want to say I've been distracted by my camera. So a few, and I'm gonna angle myself up like this so you guys can see what I'm talking about. But I read an article that was talking about how your nose, the holes in your nose at different times of day constrict. And so at certain times of day, one, and people probably will recognize this, one nostril is more open than the other, and that's kind of what sucks up the air.
Right.
So here we are at 8 a.m. my time. This one is just significantly bigger than this one.
Yeah, and I can't say this one's definitely a little more open than this one for me.
Yeah, and so I just noticed it, and I've been staring at it the entire time like, look at me, my big stupid nose.
One of those, like, I wish I never read that.
Yes, and now it's in my head. It's like when you hear, I was listening, this drove me crazy. I was listening to this is maybe a few years back, oh God, what is the name of that science show that was on NPR and my brain just died? They NPR. Would do all the like cool science stuff. Oh, what's that show called?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it was, anyway, the episode was about a heartbeat.
Science Friday?
And it was, they were, no, it was, crap. Oh, this is going to drive me crazy. It wasn't Science Friday. Oh, they do a podcast as well. It's a very popular podcast. So they were doing this live show about the heart. And they were talking about heartbeats. And so they did this thing where when they're doing the live show, this heartbeat's pumping in. And they mentioned that when they were doing the live show, there were people in the audience who their own heart rate started to respond to the heartbeat that they heard. And so when I heard them bring that up, when they then continued the episode, all I could focus on was my heart. Mm. I'm that guy, when they say, don't think about this, I think about it and it dooms the world, right? I'm the guy thinking about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at. And so, yeah, that it hit me. And I was like, oh no, my nose is so weird. Yeah.
But
so
everybody's nose is like that. It's like when you're you're really stuffed up and you're trying to blow your nose and one of them releases all of it and one of them holds on for dear life and you're like, stop that. It's all connected. Yeah. And it's all the same shit.
Over the course of the day, it just switches. And at some points, both are open. I have no idea what times. Don't ask me that. But I just know that's the way your body works and it's in order to like regulate a bunch of nonsense. But like, fascinating. Yeah. And I just noticed that. And now I'm like, or, you know, when someone mentions that, like, you breathe automatically and then you think about it and suddenly you're breathing and you're like, what if I never breathe automatically again?
Dude, speaking of things that I heard when I was younger that really fucked me up for a while and the breathing thing, a friend of mine was like, sometimes when I can't sleep, I count my breaths.
Okay.
So
all
then,
right.
And I used to not be able to sleep a lot. I would do that thing where I would just lay awake and be like, everybody hates me. So I would lay there and go, all right, I'm going to count my breathing. And it made me feel like I was going to suffocate. It was the weirdest. I hated it so much. I would sit there and be like, one, two.
No,
it was awful. No. It was awful.
No, not a fan. Also, the show I was talking about is Radiolab.
Oh, Radiolab.
For those of you who want to. Radiolab. Okay. I don't know why I forgot the name of it. I was like, what is that? Radiolab. It's pretty famous. All right. Anyway, let me regale you with the tale of my Easter. Mm-hmm. So usually my parents and I will just get together and hang out or go get brunch or whatever. And this year, usually we like drive to kind of like the middle of nowhere or some type of, you know, like garden center and they have like a restaurant inside or whatever. This time we went to a place that was on the beach. Very lovely, very like beach festive vibes, but also extremely designed for kids. Like they had an Easter bunny going around.
Okay.
They had like one of those prefix meals things or whatever. You know, like the whole tons of kids everywhere, families everywhere. Anyway, I forgot it's also Los Angeles, California. So no matter how... Oh, yes. And I saw in chat. Yes, I posted a photo on social media of my parents with the Easter Bunny. It's very cute. But I forgot it's L.A. And in L.A., you know, it is LA sometimes. And so in walks this woman with a son. And this, like, when I say that she was, I'm going to try and describe her physically first, then what she's wearing, so you understand exactly what was going on.
Okay.
Physically, she had one of those, like, I didn't just get a nose job or a lip filler or whatever. Her whole face was plastic, right?
Okay.
So, age undetermined. I don't know how old this woman was. I could not tell you. But she had also, I'm going to say, and I mean this, one of the best boob jobs I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, you know what? 10 out of 10, okay. Whoever that doctor was, that guy is a genius. But the reason why I noticed all of this, Dodger, you know the Virgin Killer sweater?
I do. Was she wearing one of those to family Easter?
Oh, yes. That's right. That's what she was wearing. You could see most of side boob, almost down to her butt crack. Like, you could see everything. She walks in with the son, and I'm like, huh? And then she sits. If I'm facing this way, and my mom is across from me, my dad's over here, she's, like, right here.
Right in
eye. I am forced by the laws of physics to look directly at her as I'm eating. Right. And I can't focus because there's a woman here showing everything, and I'm like, I'm just like, at one point I look over to my dad and my dad looks at me and he's like, I don't know, man. I was like, well, thankfully my mother is facing the opposite direction, so she doesn't have to deal with this. And I'm like,
blissfully enjoying herself.
Yeah, she was having a good time. She was like eating a trifle, like right. And so my parents were just having a good time. But I, like, it wasn't even like a direct on thing. Literally, it was, I saw her side view. And as she sat down, I think I've never seen that much in public under boob / side boob at once. I literally was like, I'm fighting DNA here. Like, I'm fighting thousands of years of genetics, and like, I'm like, anyway, so she's sitting there, in walks a man and a daughter, and the man, I tried to describe this to Crendor, and I just don't know how, like, I've never seen anyone I would describe as beige before. He was like, okay, a nondescript doughy human being.
Okay.
There was nothing about him that seemed cool, or I couldn't tell what job he. I told Crendor I think he probably was a streamer because there's no other job that I think this man could have. Like, I kept looking at him like, what are you? I was like, who is this man? And I guess they're together, probably married. I don't know. But none of them had rings. So I was looking like, what is going on? So he sits down with them, and the daughter is in, he could have been a crypto bro, that is true, chat. The daughter is in a princess outfit. Okay. And I should have known from moment one this was going to be a thing. Because the minute they sit down, the daughter is standing on the chair in princess outfit, holding a one, screaming, I want to go to the beach! I want to go to the beach! It went on for 35 minutes, Dodger. She was screaming at the top of her lungs, I want to go to the beach! And the dad was like, we'll go when we're done. We'll go when we're done. The mom said nothing the entire time. She was like taking photos on her phone the entire time. And the dad was like, we'll go when we're done. We'll go when we're done. And she's like, nah! She's screaming wildly to the point where now everyone in the restaurant, if they weren't looking at this couple, they are looking now. Even my mom loudly goes, wow.
Of course.
And so she's like nonstop screaming. And meanwhile, the son, when I say the son must have coping mechanisms for all this, he must. Because they gave him an iPad. He didn't turn that thing on once. He was like this the entire time. He was checked out.
How old is this kid?
My dude, I would say he's probably 10 or 11, and she was probably like 6 or 7. And he was, my dude was like, you could tell, I don't know, I felt, this kid clearly was like, every day of my life, it's this bullshit.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get out of this house. Like, he was, what? So,
I feel, you know, so bad for kids where you can tell, like, their time out with their family is always awful.
Yeah, it was rough. But the thing that stood out to me, and I will always remember this because it cracked me up, is eventually the Easter Bunny shows up. And this was the first time the little girl was quiet. I was, you know what? Shout out to the Easter Bunny. Kicking ass. saved the entire thing. The girl was finally quiet, taking photos of the Easter Bunny. But when the Easter Bunny went over to the table, the Easter Bunny's like walking around, doing the whole Easter Bunny thing, goes over the table, the girl in the Virgin Killer sweater, he goes, he did a double take in the Easter Bunny costume. It was so funny. I've never laughed so hard about it. You went like,
fucking Easter Bunny.
And I was just like, yes, this is Easter in LA. It's exactly what I want. And I was so happy to be involved. It was good times.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Was the food good?
Yeah, the food was good. It was like, the food was fine. It's just like a weird, one of the things I will always find funny about LA is that there are just like some people that are like, yeah, no, I'm going to look sexy as hell everywhere I go. And it's like, everywhere? Like, what? Everywhere you go? Like, we're at a kids event and it's like, everywhere?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm all right with it. I think it's probably an inappropriate location, but I'm fine with it. I was like,
they were going to the beach after.
Yeah, apparently. They were going to the beach. It's just, it's great. It's great. Yeah. One of the things I always use to describe LA is it's filled with characters. Mm, and I love all of them. Yeah. I love this city. It's insane.
Speaking of mating routines, can I tell you about the birds on my property right now?
And the bees? Sure. I think I understand, but I'm not. You'll have to fill me in on the gaps.
We have chickens and we have turkeys. And they currently really want to make baby birds. And it makes them very aggressive. So we're dealing with two issues right now. The first one being, the turkey keeps trying to mount the chickens, and he's far too big. And the chickens are like, go the fuck away.
Yo, same problem. I feel you, turkey. Same problem, dog. Same problem. I've been trying to mount birds, and I'm just too big.
You're too big.
Hell yeah. All right. Yeah, it's my man.
So all the chickens are like trying to steer clear of him, because it's not a good situation. And then the other thing is the rooster, Hercules, who again is this big. He's a tiny boy. He's decided his new favorite thing.
I forgot that you have a little tiny rooster. That's so funny.
He's a little boy. And his favorite thing right now to deal with his aggression is he will hide under the cars and attack your feet. So in the morning, when I need to take Clark somewhere, he will be hiding under my car, and then he'll start frantically slapping my feet with his wing. And I think it makes him feel better.
You know what? Let him. At that point,
honestly, it doesn't hurt. If he wants to play that game, go for it.
Yeah. You're going to hide under the car, the soon-to-be-moving car? Like, all right, buddy. You do you.
That is a hazard, regardless of the season. That is a hazard, is constantly having to check to make sure there are no chickens under my car. When I was in Oregon, there was an area in Oregon that I lived in for a while where there were so many stray cats that you felt like you had to check the tires for cats all the time, because they would sleep on the tires to have like a sheltered place to sleep. Yeah. So I'm just having to check for a whole new thing now.
At least you are mentally prepared for it. Like, you have a history of having to look under your car for things.
Sure.
I simply have never once done that, which is probably why I'm primed to be blown up in some sort of mafia-style killing. Because I will not, I'm like, car work! You know? So.
Man.
Also, I love how my version of car work is the same thing as when I'm like, oh, I'm on the phone, and I realize this isn't what, like, the youth do. But I'm victim of car work, and I push button started my car.
Yeah.
Instead of turning the key, I went boop. Like, somehow, that's extremely new. You know what? It makes me feel young, is what I'm going to tell you.
I feel like that's how most cars work now, though. Right?
It is. It is. But still, most cars on the road are you're turning a key.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. But if your car was made in the last 10 years or so, most of it's push button.
Yeah. I think every car I've seen in recent memory has been push button. Unless it's decently old. Yeah. But you're right. I wouldn't do this to start a car anymore. I'd go boop.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's also when people talk about like rolling down the window.
Yeah.
You have to be like, I'm rolling down the window.
Yo, I would mind this though. The window, I think.
Yeah, I'm rolling down the window. But most people, I don't know that they'd understand what that means if you're like 14. They'd be like, what are you doing? Be like, oh, it's an Arsenio Hall thing. Don't worry about it. And they'd be like, who is that? And
I
fade to dust.
I was going to mention that when you made the Ghostbusters reference, that there was probably a decent number of people listening right now that was not going to land.
Yeah. They'll never understand the true joy of Lord Vigo. Oh, Lord Vigo. Yeah.
Or you could go watch Ghostbusters and then... And then you will know the joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, not that one. That's Ghostbusters 2. But, you know, what we're saying. Oh, my God. I was about to say what we're saying is go watch a good movie. But I realized that's the same thing my dad would tell me when he's like, you haven't seen the ghost of the detective sheriff, a 1965 classic. And I'm like, no, Dad, I haven't. And he's like, well, you got to watch a good movie. That's that's me now. That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A friend of mine about 10 years ago had a moment where there was some music playing and he was like, this is just noise. And you could see the look on his face turn into like, oh no, how old am I? Oh my God. That's exactly what my dad used to say.
Yes. Yes. This is why I was thinking about this while driving in today. I actively try to keep up on stuff because there was like an ad playing on the radio when I was coming in that was like talking about identity theft or some type of credit card. Basically, it was something along the lines of like, if you're getting spam calls or spam this or harassed by whatever, it's because your name and information is on the dark web somewhere and someone's using this information, like buy our service and we'll remove it, right? And I kept thinking like, I'm pleased that I don't fall victim to that kind of stuff because I'm up to date on sort of the world. And I try to keep, you know, all of my curiosity going. Mm. And so I'll learn new things and I'll be like, oh, come on, this is clearly a scam, right? And I feel that way with music too, where when I listen to music, I always try to be like, yeah, I'll listen to new stuff. Let's get crazy.
Right.
But with that said, after all these years and all the new music I listen to, you still can't sell me on country music. I just can't do it.
Really?
I can't. Like, there are some, I gotta give a shout out to my girl Shania. There are some that are good, and I'm like, that's a classic one. That's fun. But most of it, I just can't. I guess I don't need some buds and a pickup truck and my dog and a fishing pole. Like, I just.
This definitely feels like a. The country music that gets big is all the same shit. Truly. It is all like pickup truck, love my country, got my girl and my dog, right? Like it's all the same. But there are some true like diamonds out there.
I can do Willie all day. Kenny Rogers. Like there's classic ones that I'm like, yeah, all right, that is a bop. I'm here for it. But most of it, after a while, sounds a little bit samey and a little bit like a little too much twang for me. But with that said, I'm also not listening to like the industrial level death metal. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's some metal that I'm absolutely here for, but there's some where it's just screeches and roars where I'm like, yeah, all right. Like, all right, I guess if you want to get your angst out, this is a fine way to do it. But I also not for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's extremes, but I try to stay open to everything. But
I think
sometimes I'm like,
I think you can have preferences for the type of music that you like without it meaning that you discount the fact that some people love music that you're not into, you know, without,
oh, sure.
Like without being like, well, that's just garbage, right? Like that's just noise. You're not doing that. You're just saying, this really isn't for me. And I think those are different, like vastly different things, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's music that I don't know that I would listen to on the regular where I'll be like, that's pretty cool. And I'm trying to think, what that, like symphonic metal where it all just sounds like JRPG music, but it's like live performed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not something that I'd be like, I gotta have that album. But if I hear it, I'm like, that's pretty good. But, you know, I have a lot of that where I'm like, yeah, all right, that's pretty nice. You know, I'm open to it. But, yeah, there are a few things on some of the outskirts of music where Jesse is a Nightwish fan, only for the lead singer. She's incredible.
Nightwish, classic.
Kills it. Classic. How old is Nightwish? Nightwish is pretty old. Dude. Nightwish was the meme song for Epic Maneuver, which is in fact my screen name on Steam. Yeah, that's the where Geordi the Forge rolls under a door that is extremely slowly closing. Yeah.
All I know is I was listening to Nightwish in high school, so it's got to be 90s.
It's old. Yeah, that's pretty old. They've changed their singers many times. Well, all of them then. Every last lead singer. Rocks.
Every
done.
Nightwish lead.
Yeah. Which is my favorite? The one that you like? The one that everyone says is the best. That's the one I like.
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Someone was mentioning, and to those of you who watch the VOD for this or listen to this on a podcast app or whatever, you would have been missing this anyway. But a couple of people have been asking why we don't do pre-shows anymore. We used to do like a whole pre-show section for Geekenders. And I think we realized we were using a lot of material before we even
just using hit record.
Were talking
to
about
the point where people had to upload VODs of us on YouTube because they missed out on all the things.
Yeah. It's the unfortunate issue that comes with doing a show with one of your best friends is sometimes you just sit there and talk shit for like 40 minutes and then go, fuck, we're not even recording. So now everybody gets all of it in the actual show. That is the intention. And I got to tell Jesse all about my kid's performance without having to think, how much is too much to say right now?
Yeah. Oh, it was lovely too. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I will say for the record, behind us, later today I have to film Scary Game Squad stuff. I'm going to let you know the same thing's going to happen. They're going to get here, we're going to sit down, and we're going to spend 40 minutes talking about some insanely stupid shit, and then finally press record, and I'll be like, we should have just been working. We should have been like, instead we hung out like friends. I'm like, we should have been working. Yeah. No, that happens. It happens frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice though. What was that game that you and I played on your channel? The like religious horror game. I can't remember what the name of that game was. The visual novel with the girl and her sister and that whole thing. What was that?
Oh, my whole brain. Oh my God. Oh man, it's by the same people that made The Letter.
Yeah, it's not The Letter, it's the other one.
It's the one with the evil nuns. Oh, man. It's not the letter. It's the follow-up. Saint Maker. Yes.
I remember that every time we would hop on to record that, there would be like an hour of that footage that was us just not playing. We weren't playing the game. We were just talking. And
it happens. Yeah.
It is nice. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So. It's basically what streaming is, and a Let's Play is not that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like the difference between a Let's Play on YouTube and just streaming is that, where it's like, oh no, we're going to take an hour and just talk.
Yeah.
Versus people came to watch this thing, and if you are deviating, you're going to get so many comments that are like, play the game!
True. That is true. That point, actually, because for those of you who don't know, we did the first part. It was a sponsored stream, but we did the first part of the new Life is Strange game. And that was very fun.
That was fun.
And we'd like to play more of it. Do you think we should stream it? Or should we record it?
I don't care.
Great.
Whatever works for you. Honestly, here's what I'll say. Yeah. I think it depends on the time.
Mm.
Like, if it's
when,
you know,
we're able to meet up to do it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because if it's like butt-ass o'clock early here, there's no way I'm going to be prepared to stream.
I hate,
you know what I mean?
Butt-ass o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be like, so I can fake it till I make it, but not with a camera on me.
Right.
So, but it's like, yeah, I'm fine streaming it or whatever. It's all good.
Okay.
I'm not stressed about it.
Yeah. I'd love to.
It's no big deal for me.
We got to find out how their story ends.
We do need to find out how their story ends.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine together, smooching.
If we have anything to say about it, yeah.
Damn right. Although,
and maybe with everything blown up, I don't know.
Yeah. So admittedly, you and I, we never did finish Life is Strange Double Exposure.
We didn't.
We just didn't. But thankfully, it appears not much actually occurred in Double Exposure, because when we got to this one,
specifically has to do with like the Chloe storyline. Yeah.
Not really. Yeah, they introduced a bunch of new characters, and we spent enough time with them to understand who these characters were, but not much really happened, according to what we learned.
Mm.
And so the only thing that did happen is Max loves to smooch everyone.
I mean, to be
fair, the amount of options that were like,
asked us, do she be smooching? And we said, yup.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it does. Max is an equal opportunity smoocher, and I am here for it. Also, I know it's kind of creepy because we've been following Max since like she was young, but like modern day Max, 30-year-old Max, kind of doing it for me. I'm like, all right, Mag. What can I say?
They really nailed the Oregon vibe. She feels like an Oregonian through and through, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's, Max is 39. Max is old. They're all, like, old as,
she's a college professor in this game.
Yeah, she's like a person doing things. If she's not 30, she's, like, 28. You know what I mean? Like, she's definitely there. I don't know. It's, I, frankly, here for it. I love all of it. And I'm kind of, you know, ready to play more. So, yeah, whenever you want, let me know.
Right.
It's all good. All good.
Lots.
Yeah. So speaking of co-op stuff this past week, I know you said you were playing with
Re-Animal?
Sam. I don't know if you did. I did play Re-Animal. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I have not.
Did you play
it.
Any
I,
of it?
Have I you? Still haven't played it yet, but I would love to hear how you felt.
Did you play any demo stuff? Anything else?
I played the demo.
Okay.
By all myself. Right. I played the demo when it came out. Yeah.
So Twiggy and I played this thing, and I cannot stress, one of the greatest joys in my life is giving people a hard time. And, oh, she just reacted exactly how you should. I was like, yes, let me give you a hug. There was a moment. So I don't know what started this, Dukes, but while we were playing, I went like full Dude Bro podcaster.
Why?
I don't know. I think because it upset everyone and it was really funny. But at one point we're like, we're trying to go through this like pig pen where these giant pigs. And she's trying to go over and get this achievement. If you like pet this pig, but we're roped together and I'm trying to leave. So I'm like trying to drag her and she's like, no, I'm trying to get the achievement. And I'm like pulling her and pulling her. And finally she said something. I don't remember what I was like, this is why you got to lead ladies around, fellas. They get so distracted so easily.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth that I started cracking up at my own ridiculousness. I like there is the VOD is me like giggling like a complete idiot because I just kept going and she would get more and more. And it was
the true
anyway
is the manosphere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's really what it was. So the game itself is one that is like, if you played Little Nightmares 1 and 2, you know exactly what you're getting into, mm-hmm. right? You have the exact kind of like vibe of what this game is going to be. You are essentially two little kids in a world where everything is bigger and creepier and nastier and weirder than you can possibly imagine. And I would try to describe to you the story, but if you played Little Nightmares 1 and 2, you realize they don't ever want you to really know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
They just don't. So when we beat it, we definitely went on like a deep dive of what?
What people think that game was even about.
Yeah. And yeah. There are some clues. I will say, when you and Sam play, we did learn that there is, like we found these weird things throughout the game. And it turns out that if you keep finding weird things, a certain amount of them, you unlock the real ending and it explains more to you.
Okay.
But with that said, the real ending's explanation isn't an explanation. It just asks more questions, but then you can kind of like figure it out, which I guess everyone kind of did. We went on Reddit and we found a few more people being like, oh, this is what the game is based on this. But in the exact same topic, there were like four other people that had completely different, similar, but different takes.
Mm.
And I love that because it's still open to interpretation. But with that said, genuinely a fun game. It is in the same spirit as the first two Little Nightmares games. It is, the platforming and the puzzles are very entertaining. However, they continue to create the weirdest, most disturbing creatures ever.
Yeah.
From the weird skin snakes, which I'm not going to go into more detail, skin snakes to an ice cream man that goes into bodies to weird, like, dust people that spawn from a furry, I'm going to say furry vagina.
Okay.
To a weird, like, Akira sheep.
Like, okay.
Y'all, I just don't know how to describe these things that are happening in this game. But with that said, they did a lot of great scene movement stuff. And you know how most games will be like, you walk to the edge of the level, black screen, new level. This, they would be like, okay, we need to get from location A to location B. How are we going to do that? One great example is you literally go to a bus stop. And you sit there and your characters are like, oh, shit. Oh, this has been a rough day. And then like a creepy bus pulls up and then you get in the creepy bus and you're in the bus as you're driving somewhere and you see like weird stuff happening and you're like, what is going on? And then the bus stops and you get off the bus and you're like in a new area. That kind of stuff.
I like that. Right? Yeah.
They do little fun things like that. Or one of the missions is you need to get, I think maybe you might have played this in the demo. When you're in that first warehouse area, you have to get the mine cart, and then you have to use the mine cart to go down the track. That takes you to a new area. So they do a lot of fun creative stuff like that, and I genuinely love that kind of thing. But again, I must stress, play it for the cool game, the visuals, the like co-op stuff, all that. Don't expect to understand what the hell is happening.
Yeah.
Go into it with an open mind and be like, Wow, that's weird. With that said, though, I think it's pretty obvious the general gist of it. But if you're looking for specifics, that's where people are like, huh? So.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was fun. It's good stuff.
Good. How long did it take you?
I'm going to say 4 hours.
That's not bad.
I think maybe four. Maybe four or five, something like that. It was done. We were done in a day. And it wasn't, it might have been under four. I'll be honest. I don't remember. But I feel like it was not that long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I, Jesse Cox, man about town, can answer this real quick. The VOD video I have is 5 hours long, but I know it's not entirely us playing. There you go.
Great.
Yeah. So definitely a one long stream or two shorty boys. Mm-hmm. You can get it done. I think you and Sam would enjoy it. I also think you and Sam would go crazy at the part where you have to be roped together.
Which is the intention, I assume.
Absolutely the intention. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good stuff.
Great.
I also,
yes,
even though it was for a brand thing, I really want to go back and finish it because holy crap, did I enjoy this. Darwin's Paradox is the new Konami platformer where you play as an octopus whose octopus friend gets kidnapped by a corporation that makes weird fish products. And that corporation is called U-Food, and it may in fact just be UFOs. And so you have to platform jump, cling on walls, squirt ink to like cover your path. You can shrivel up and become the same colors like the ground or whatever. Essentially, you're just trying to like both stealth and sneak past weird fish trying to eat you, seagulls, aliens, robots, whatever the case may be, or various machines. And it is a solid platformer. It's very cute. I love that. There's also one section, speaking of chickens under your cars, there's one section where you are sneaking through this base and then you jump over this thing onto a road. And I knew immediately what I was going to have to do because they did that thing where they had literal Frogger sitting there going, ribbit, ribbit. And your guy looks at him, and he looks at you, and then he jumps towards the screen. And you now have to literally, in like 3D, go under cars like you are on Edge of Tomorrow, or you are
Right.
Great stuff. According to chat, I died 60 times? I still haven't beaten it. I will die. Oh, I died so many times to stupid stuff. There's one section where you have to figure out the timing of, you know how in the movie The Rock, when Sean Connery has to go under the flaming pipe thing in order to get in the room and open the door so everyone can get inside, and all the guys are like, damn, he's like, I memorized the timing. And same thing here. You have to just memorize the timing, and it took me forever because sometimes these like things go up and down into lava. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they go all the way down to lava, and sometimes just a little bit down. And so you have to like navigate and crawl up and under them because you can't go around them. So you have to go up and under. So you have to time it so you're going under when it's up. But because it moves so quickly, that kind of thing. So it's that kind of game. Absolutely loved it. Yes.
Is the reason that aliens are involved in this game because it's like loosely connected to the conspiracy that octopi are from space?
Maybe you are definitely very smart. You are designed to be smart, but the idea
is that...
You
met me, and I was like, thank you.
I stand by that.
Continue.
So for those of you who don't know, the conspiracy is that octopi are extremely intelligent, and they look so foreign to this world that many people are like, oh, they are the aliens.
They came here from space. And
yeah, they're not from
this
world. Yeah, and it is true that like we are learning more about, you know, the octopus intelligence and how they actually are very smart. So not really. The aliens in this have come to, they have some like evil plan, but most of their plan involves making humans stupid slaves. So they are creating, imagine if all of the junk food and bad food companies were run by aliens trying to make the masses stupid. Right. That's the premise. And so one of your octopus friends get snatched, and so you're on your way to save them. And they're like the one who taught you everything you know.
No,
so when you
to
get
them.
To a new, yeah, like when you get to a new section, like you'll have a flashback to a moment where the octopus is like teaching you a thing, and you're like, oh, okay. The intro is very fun because you start with all your abilities. And you get to see kind of how to play.
Yeah.
There's one section where you have to use ink to sneak past these like eels. If you are even a smidge out of that ink too long, they're like, yomp. I'm like, damn. I would not survive as a, like any sort of animal existing in the ocean. I'd be like, what's that? And then immediately killed.
Mm.
Every time. I'd be the guy that gets got by the like light on the end of the anglerfish.
Right.
I'd be like, what is that?
What's that?
Yeah, dead immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's very, very cute. All of the character designs are just so much fun. The robots, I swear to God, just look like robotic Homer Simpsons.
Perfect.
Just imagine you're being chased by Robo Simpson the entire time. Great stuff. I was literally like, maybe tomorrow I'll just finish the game. Because I like it that much.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I can get
That's
sponsored to play
feeling.
Something I love, it rocks. It's the best.
I
I'm
love
like, this
that.
Is the greatest job in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a great feeling to be like, I'm going to play more of this. And I mean it for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then because, again, I saw Octo playing it and I'm obsessed with it. I finally downloaded Horriplant. I think that's going to be my weekend game. Literally, it's a clicker, but also a dungeon crawler, but also a horror game. Mm. And I'm here for it. And so I imagine it won't require a lot of focus. So, you know, it'd be one of those stream games where you can just sit there and shoot the shit while clicking on stuff, and I'm looking forward to it. So that'll be probably this weekend. Oh, and apparently this
yeah.
came out of nowhere. And Dukes, I might get you in on this.
What's
Crendor
up?
Was like, hey, I just want to ask if, do you think maybe you would want to play co-op games sometime? And I'm like, brother, what? And he's like, yeah, just, you know, I see all, like, everyone's playing co-op games together, and I just want to play co-op games. I was like, I would love to play co-op games.
We should play stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I think he wants to do, like, we were doing a lot of backroom stuff this past week on Too Old for This. So I think he's like, wants to play that or some of the other weird games. I was like, dude, I would 100%. Like, you don't have to. You didn't have to ask. You just said, do you want to play? And I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
That's like super. I was like, yeah, dude, of course. So yeah. Be on the lookout because my man has got a hankering for some gankering. So sign me up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What'd you play? What'd you do this week?
Bro. Nothing. I'm stuck in Pathologic. The only thing that I could talk about is I just found out today that The Sims 4 is free. How long has it been free?
What do you mean? Well, maybe because they have 8 million DLC that costs money.
That's what I was saying. Because if you do the thing where you're like, I'm going to put all of The Sims 4 DLC into my cart and see how much it is. It's like 1,000 and something. It's insane.
Yes. Yep.
So I was like, well, clearly they're making enough on the DLC that they don't need the base game to cost anything anymore. They know it's a good product and that people love it. And that most likely if the DLC is affordable, you'll probably buy a couple of them, you know?
Yep.
My kid and I, we were talking about what to watch together because she's been on spring break. And I was like, you know what I would love to watch is somebody who's really good at building houses in The Sims 4. I don't know why. I just had a hankering for just watching somebody do that kind of a thing. And so we were watching people build houses, and she asked if we could get the game. And my immediate thought was, oh, gosh, I don't know how to get into my old account. I know I bought it 1 million years ago. I guess I could see how much it is on Steam, but I really don't want to buy it a second time. And it's free! What a delight. It's free and it's gigantic.
That.
It took so long to install. Something that a couple of my friends have done, I never would have thought of using The Sims 4 for this. Something a couple of my friends have done is they build, like meticulously build their own house or apartment in The Sims so that they can plan out how they want to decorate in The Sims. And then they have an idea of like what arrangement of things would look good in that space. And I was like, that's so smart.
I don't want to take a wild swing, but I'm gonna.
Go for it.
That to me, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm gonna say this is the most Kristen and Jeannie coded shit I've ever heard in my entire life.
It was neither of them. Isn't
damn,
that crazy?
Damn. It's I genuinely, when I heard that, I was like, no, that's those two for sure. That's crazy. It's not.
It's not. I mean, look, if I texted them right now, there is a over 50% possibility that they'll be like, yeah, I did do that. And I just don't know about it. But that sounded so smart because I would say I'm an artistic person. I'm a crafty person. But I have always struggled with homes. The home that I've lived in has always been like, I don't know, just put things where they fit. And then I got to move on, you know?
That's my biggest thing. Like, people are always like, you keep getting rid of stuff. And it's like, I don't like the idea of things being just in places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I want, if there comes a moment where there's too much stuff, I'm like, I need more open so I can get around and do things. I don't want to have like a thing blocking another thing, blocking another thing. Cause then I'm like, that's going to get dusty and I won't be able to get back there and I won't be able to clean that. That's where I'm that guy.
Right.
Where it's like, oh no, he's crazy.
Oh, okay. I see what's going on in there now. All right. Yeah. My thing is when I go into people's homes that feel cozy, I can't identify what it is about that home that feels cozy. And I think it's typically like patterns and textures and things like that. But I don't know how to recreate. Like, I want my house
what
to feel
cozy. What are you talking
cozy.
About? The room you're currently in has a very cozy feel.
Thank you. But it's a set.
Yes. So you clearly know
this
how to do it.
This isn't my house.
No, my but you office. Know how to do it. And you're doing it in a way that I like, because in the background, you can see there's just a lot of open space. See, the walls are cozy, but there's open space. And that I'm like, perfect. Yes, cozy vibe, but not clutter cozy. I don't want cozy where it's like, well, I put this one chair in the corner. Mm-hmm. Then I surrounded it with more plants than I can count. And I have one hanging light that like hangs right over you as you read. Like, I don't want that. I don't want or need that. That's too much. But I do understand a lot of people like that. Like, on Reddit, there's a bunch of there's the male living spaces one, which is like absolutely a goof. It's just guys posting their one chair and TV. But there's like another version of that, which is like cozy, or maybe it's like women living space. I don't know what it is, but it's like, oh, here's my home, and it's just a treat. You can tell they really took their time, and obviously they're gonna show it off. You know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna post on the internet that, like, here's my house and it looks like a mess. But it is, all of them are great, and I would never ever have my apartment look like that. Right. But I understand it. I'm like, oh, that's really cute. It also inspires me. That's how I know for sure that while most of my life I want uncluttered, when it comes to my perfect bathroom, if I'm going to have a bathroom made one day, it's going to be one of those ones with 85 shower heads, a thing where you can see the sky, a skylight in the middle of it. It's going to have plants and shit in there. It's going to be like you're in the jungle getting destroyed by like a waterfall. That's what I want. And having seen that, I'm fine with the shower for some reason being cluttered as just like, I'm like, oh, like that's what I want.
You are in there twice.
But the minute I step out of that shower, that bathroom better be spotless. The rest of it is like sterile. But the shower, I'm like, destroy me, nature. Yeah. But after that, no, thank you.
I think the big thing for me, with you mentioning, I can see a place and say, that looks beautiful. That's not for me, though. There are a lot of places that I see or homes that I go into where I'm like, this is gorgeous. I do not want this at all. And most of the time, it's because I don't want to live in a place where it feels like everything is like... I'm going to feel really weird saying this to you because I feel like you are going to completely disagree with me. I want everything to feel lived in. And so, like, if I go into a house and the couch looks new and the coffee table looks new, that stresses me out a little bit. I'm like, that looks beautiful. But like, I don't like having brand new pieces of furniture. I get a lot of secondhand furniture because then I'm like, when something inevitably happens to this, because there are three bull people living in this house, I'll know it's just part of the journey this piece of furniture has gone on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there are certain style, like, I don't know how you would describe this, certain modern aesthetics when it comes to furniture that I'm like, nah, that doesn't look comfortable. You know?
Yes.
I don't know if lived in is the right word for me, but I like furniture that looks like it is usable and comfortable, not like weird angled sofas and tables that, what would you put on that table? Nothing. Like,
right.
Everything needs to have a purpose. So while I'm about, like, keeping everything very clean, I'm also about, like, functionality. And if it has no function, I think I go by Alton Brown. Shout out to Alton Brown. He would always say that you shouldn't get a single-use kitchen item. Every item in your kitchen should have multiple uses. There's no reason to have one pan that only does one thing. It's a waste of space. And why'd you buy? And I think about that often. So I'm like, I do that with everything. If I can have multiple things, great. But if it's one stupid thing that does nothing for me, then it's gone. I'm like, no, you're out of here. And it's been real helpful on keeping most things out of my life that I don't need. And then, because I'm ADD as hell, I remember they exist. Like, my biggest problem is the more stuff I have, the more I forget it exists.
Yeah.
And then
Sam has the
I will
problem.
Not never use it. Yeah, I'll never use it. And then I won't, I'll be like, well, what? Or worse, there's been times where I've gone to the grocery store, bought a hot sauce I already had.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember. I think that it's red lentils, but there's a video like a short on YouTube or something where a girl is like, "Hey, thanks so much for coming over. Can I interest you in some red lentils? Or would you maybe want some red lentils? We also have red lentils." Like, it's just clearly bought them over and over again, forgetting that they were in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also that kind of thing is also the reason why, even though I love the idea of, like, I bought a house that has a tree that has lemons or oranges or whatever, everyone I know has one of those. It's like, do you want some oranges or lemons, please? Because they just have so much of it. And that's one tree. So part of me is like, no. Look, I'm going to have to let that dream go. I could. I would go crazy. I'd be like, someone please take these. Someone, like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, we have to put a wheelbarrow out filled with apples every single day during the summer because so many apples are falling. it's just a wheelbarrow that's just out all the time with apples.
Yeah. I always used to think, oh, it's so sweet that these farms or whatever are putting fruit on the side of the road and they're like, here, just take some. But I realize they're doing it for them, not for us. Yeah. They're like, please.
They will just
rot.
If you don't pick them up, they rot. Yeah. And your ground's just covered in rotten apples. So.
Mm-mm. No thanks. Yeah.
One of our pigs really early on ate one of the rotten apples and got drunk and made herself sick. So we're really careful to pick them up now.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Yeah. I love that you just had like a sick drunk pig.
We were like,
I kind of
want to
know what a drunk
her?
Pig is like. That's amazing.
She was just really lethargic. We were like, something's wrong.
That farm life got her.
Yeah. Poor thing.
Yeah. Now I want that, like, a version of like a kid's story with a pig, but he just gets into those apples. Like, what's wrong, Mr. Snorts? He's like, nothing's wrong, kid.
And the book describes fermentation to children.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. It's a science book.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yes.
I just saw that. Is this like a thing where you are when it comes to. So there have been a lot of like scooter shops opening up lately here in LA.
Scooter shops? No, that sounds very LA though.
Yeah. And I feel like it's a fad, but I don't know because all the things they have in them are things that seem very European. You know, I imagine for smaller roads, for narrower, like it seems.
Wait. I'm confused.
Are not, these... not mopeds, right? Like little electric scooters.
Yeah. Electric scooters and like non-electric ones are huge here. Every kid has a scooter. I know multiple people who get around town exclusively on an electric scooter. But I have yet to see a scooter shop like a bike shop.
There are a lot of them, and it's a lot of electric or powered, both the ones where you stand and the ones that just kind of look like bikes with big tires.
Okay.
But that's like, they're popping up. And I don't know, maybe it's just because this is the west side of the city, so a lot of people will come over here and like get on a bike and then try to go over to like Venice Beach or whatever. But it isn't just like a rental thing. They're like selling them.
Yeah.
And it isn't like, oh, it's a bike shop and the bike shop's also selling scooters. It's like just a scooter shop.
Just a scooter shop. Yeah.
And I was like, they're popping up everywhere. And we are 2 years out from the Olympics being in LA. So like maybe it's like a world thing, but if you're not seeing it, then I am convinced it's just an LA thing.
So like my kid has started skateboarding. So we don't have a whole lot of skate parks near where we are because we're in the middle of fucking nowhere. But I've driven her out to some skate parks and pretty much all of the kids at skate parks are on scooters.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Are they like doing the ramps and stuff on the scooters?
They're doing doing tricks. They're scooting. They.
Honestly, I have the dream of like, what if I just didn't have a car and just had a scooter? Wouldn't that be cool? And then if I needed a car for something, I just get like one of the many thousands and thousands of Lyfts or whatever's in this city if I needed a car. But then I'll be driving on the road and I'll see people who had probably the same idea and they almost die at any given second.
And they're constantly almost being killed. So sweaty all the time as well.
I will see them on the road and either people are annoyed they even exist or they will almost be killed instantly by cars that do not see them. And I'm like, maybe I won't. Maybe LA's not the city for that.
Yeah.
They're trying. I guess they're trying. I don't know.
One of the moms bikes her kids to school every day. Rain or shine, they always bike to school. Damn. And she has an electric bike with two kids' seats attached to the back. And that thing is wild. It is the most buck wild piece of machinery that I have ever seen.
I saw one the other day where it's the scooter, but on the front is a giant box. So the dad was on the scooter and the mom and the kid were in the box in the front. It wasn't like a little tiny, you know, like, oh, I put my groceries. It was a box.
Yeah.
Like a huge box. And he's just going down the road. And of course, there's like eight cars behind him. Like,
of course.
He's just having a good time. And I kept thinking about that. Like, all right, yeah, no, that's cool. But also, you're even bigger now and probably going to get hit and killed on that damn thing. I was like, all right, dude. Sure, man. But
yeah,
in a perfect world, because there's many cities. On Cox and Crendor this past week, We ended up in Ghent as for the weather section. And I was like, oh yeah, Dodger and I have been there twice.
Yeah.
Lovely city. Good stuff. But the center of that town, not a damn car allowed. And that's the kind of place where I would, I love that. It's the kind of place where I would absolutely like, all right, yeah, I don't want a car. I'm going to have a bike. I can get around to the bike. Most cars aren't even allowed in this area. Not where, like that to me, perfect example of like, yo, love this.
Yeah.
But LA is not, LA is not that.
No.
Even New York, you would imagine get a bike in New York, but even then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the city has to like place value in that, right? In having areas that where cars don't go, and LA has no interest in that.
Yeah. I mean, even going into like Amsterdam, even though there are cars, the bikes control that street. The bikes control, there's nothing you can do to stop those bikes. I mean, they run the road.
When we got off the Eurostar in Ghent, the half of that parking lot was bikes.
Yep.
Like,
love. I genuinely love that. I think that's great.
Me too. But again, your city has to prioritize that and value that.
That is true. There was a time, it has disappeared, but Culver City, which you are aware of, Culver during COVID, because no one was on the roads really, all the restaurants there in order to, because there's a whole section of Culver City that is like all restaurants, like an entire street of restaurants.
I know exactly where you're talking about.
And so this, and there's like the famous Culver City Hotel there. There's a very famous movie theater. There's also, but like, oh, and now there's the platform or whatever the hell they call it. It's like, you know, this thing that's like, it's the coolest spot. You left and they built a giant douchebag factory. The entire place is like amazing. Air wands and like, you know, like all of the like,
sure.
The shit that's like $85 for a kale salad, you know, like that kind of, that's what they built there. It's like, cool, man. But during COVID, that entire section, all the restaurants in order to get people there started opening up outdoor seating. And because more and more people went, I guess the Culver City, whoever, council allowed them to set up stuff in the streets. So they shrunk down the street size from two lanes on either side to one lane, roughly on either side. And then in the streets were all this seating. That lasted until maybe last year.
Really?
And it was great. So you could
That's so cool.
There's people. Yeah, it was great. And now it's back to normal where it's just, there's a ton of cars now. But yeah, for a brief moment, it was kind of, I was like, I kind of like this area. This is neat. Not anymore. Now it's back to normal. People probably complained because the traffic, admittedly, the traffic was bad.
Traffic was terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. But if they had said go around it, they probably, like if that one street, if they just permanently closed it off and said go around, there's like 18 other major streets right there that you could go down. Venice is right next door. Like you could easily just route traffic around that one area. They won't, but they should. they really should.
Yeah.
No.
Man.
Oh, well.
Have you ever been to an Erewhon?
Oh, my God. One time, walked in. I vividly remember seeing, it was like celery juice or something for like $12.
Yeah.
And as far as I could tell, it was celery water. It was water that had celery in it. That's what I was like, cool, man. Cool. I know that a lot of people go there on social media to try like the Hailey Bieber smoothie.
Yeah.
Oh, they do have a very expensive strawberry.
The $100 strawberry or whatever. Yeah.
But most people, when they go there, they do it as like it's for social media, so I can justify it. But they still spent $35 on a smoothie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. No, it is not. I will say, if you're in LA, find an Erewhon, walk in, look around. You'll be shocked that one, it is filled with people. And two, everything on the shelves is like
insane.
I did want $85 honey. You're like, what?
$30 for a jar of pasta sauce? A steal.
Yeah, it is an incredibly weird thing. Yes, Whole Foods used to be like Erewhon Light. They did have, you know, like jars of, like asparagus in a bottle for it. Yes, oh, for sure. However, I think since Amazon bought Whole Foods, it just turned it into a grocery store that is like, we don't have chemicals in our stuff. But all the wacky things are kind of gone now. Yeah. That's at Erewhon. Erewhon has the wacky things now. If you want to go see some weird shit. And the crazy thing is that they've managed to span both sides of the country because they hit that weird, like instead of getting a flu shot, drink these two drinks that we serve you. Instead of eating this thing, try this wrap we made with some weird vegetable that only grows in one part of the world, like that right. kind of thing. And so all the people that go there are like, holistic is the right word. Holistic, but if you were to ask them their thoughts on anything else, it would not, there is no crossover, right? Like you want to say like, oh, that's the place all the hippie dippies go to. No, false.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Like you're going to find the absolute hippie dippie person and the anti-vaxxer there together. Like it's an incredibly weird place to be. But the one thing that connects it all is, oh, I have gross amounts of disposable income.
Mm.
Pretty much what it is. It's a very weird spot.
To answer the question of why do they have a $100 strawberry? It's shipped from Japan. In Japan, from what I understand, in Japan, it's customary if you're going to someone's house, instead of bringing them like a physical gift, you would bring them fruit. And so there's like a whole industry in Japan around like perfect fruit to bring, like fruit that has been cultivated to look perfect and taste perfect. And so they started importing perfect strawberries, quote unquote, from a company in Japan and selling them at Erewhon. And people buy them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I, apparently they don't taste like anything special, really.
No, it's just like a gorgeous looking strawberry, but it's still a strawberry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when Japan was getting everyone, at least if you're a weeb, excited about square watermelons because you could fit them in tiny Japanese fridges. Do you remember that? This is a few years back. It was square watermelons, and they're like little, it's just a watermelon. It tastes like a watermelon, but it's just a square watermelon that's tinier that fits into the shape of tiny Japanese fridges.
Yeah, when some fruits, like melons specifically, when they start to grow, you can trap them in something that's shaped.
In a box, yeah.
And then it'll grow into that shape because it has nowhere else to go. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a watermelon. But like, you know, I always think it's interesting that if you can create a thing and make a market, you can be you'll make a fortune.
Mm.
Because no one thought to do that, or what's like, why would you do that? But if you can create it and then sell it to people on the idea that like, this is actually again, a perfect strawberry. Like at some point, there had to have been an industry in Japan that was like, we can make money selling fruit as gifts. You give your boss this beautiful $100. It's not about the fruit. It's about the fact you spent $100 on it.
Oh, 100%.
And they know you spent $100 on it. So now your boss recognizes that you spent $100 on this fruit. It's a symbol. It's a symbol.
If fruit is already like a customary thing to bring, then you can see through a capitalist lens why there would be people who are like, right, but if you bring our specialty fruits, then you'll make an even better impression, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is to Frank Mail Chat is absolutely right. pineapples were so expensive that they used to rent them out to show off that you had pineapples.
What?
That's, yeah, that's because it was hard to get them. And so people, they crazy. Get, like, I love that. Same vibe. Same vibe. Love that. So good.
Interesting.
Yeah, except now you're buying it for $100.
Right.
And again, most of the people buying it aren't buying it to be like, I bought you this 100. They're buying it because it's like, huh, you know what it is? It literally is that time on, I think it was, I don't know if it was TGS podcast or Co-Optional, whichever one, when we were doing it, I bought a 60, remember that $60 mail-in cake?
Yes, I do.
I bought it literally because I couldn't believe there was a $60 mail-in cake.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to do it. Let's go. Same thing. That's exactly why people go to Erewhon.
And remind us, how did it taste?
Like a chocolate cake. Mm. It was all right. It was all right. But it's, yeah. But it's weird that that's, you know, it's like, yeah, yeah. All right. I guess I got to buy this and try it.
Yeah.
And I did. And I was like, okay, well, I learned a lesson here.
And it was
never
fine.
Do that again.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, we found that mail-in cake because we were looking to see if you could mail Chicago pizza to yourself.
That's right. I forgot about that. And you can.
You can.
Now there's actually a full-on industry.
A deep dish pizza straight to your house.
There is literally
Chicago.
A website. I don't remember what it is, but it's fine because I don't need to shout them out. But it's a website where you literally can order that kind of stuff from restaurants all over the country, and then they'll ship it to you from the restaurant. It costs you way too much money to do that, but if you like really want to go out there and find that pizza from your hometown, they will make it happen. And I'm kind of like, honestly, okay. If I like really was missing Marion's Pizza in Dayton, Ohio, I know I could go on there and find it.
Yeah.
Crazy. I'm not. There's plenty of pizza all over, but like if I really wanted that specific pizza, you could. Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
How are we looking on news, my dude?
Well, let me tell you, we have got some fun news today. The first one, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm just going to read you the headline. Mostly because I feel like these words have never before in the history of the human experience or English language been put together. The headline reads, Jesus Simulator removed from PlayStation Store amid Sony's AI slop purge.
Sentences that have never been said.
Never once has that been said. Ever. This is a first. This is a first.
Oh, no.
Apparently.
AI Jesus game? Jesus would hate AI. Can we go on record?
Apparently, a game called Jesus Simulator, which was on the PlayStation Store, but is currently on Steam. Sony was like, no, this is AI trash. And they removed it. They said it was disguising itself as a game and removed it. However, for anyone out there like, they're coming after Jesus. They took down tons of games. Other notable ones included Card Shop Game Store, 6-7 Nights, Tune My Car, Cat Life Simulator, I Am Busy Digging a Hole, and more.
Okay.
And I will say, I'm excited they did this because you remember a few weeks back, I was on the PlayStation Store looking at stuff, and I found a bunch of games that were all the same. It was like 8 or 9 hot women, but one was vampire, and one was like spies. But they were just
all made
by the same AI company.
Yeah.
And apparently Sony's like, not on our platform. Steam, on the other hand, is like, we'll take that, enjoy, and if you want to buy it, great.
Just mark it as AI, say. Thanks.
Yeah, some people do. I was looking on, so we were supposed to do a Star Wars recording today, but Davis was like, can we do that next week? Let's just play like a short game. So I had to go on Steam and type in like, under 2 hour horror games, and I was like trying to find one. But on the top list of like new releases, number 2 or 3 was so very clearly an AI porn game, and it was on like favorites You know what I mean? Where it shows you like what people are buying. And I was like,
oh.
All right, man. Like horny be horny. I guess I can't do that. So anyway, AI Jesus off of PlayStation. Speaking of AI.
Yes.
After the CEO of Take-Two said AI can't make any games like GTA 6, they then went ahead and fired the head of AI at Take-Two.
Really?
Which is, that's pretty crazy. The quote, I love this quote. It's actually like, I believe this to my core. There is no creativity that can exist by definition in any AI model because it's all data driven. Let's say there were no constraints. Could we push a button tomorrow and create an equivalent of Grand Theft Auto for marketing? The answer is no. Which is real. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. And I'm here for it. Let's go. More of this, please. In a completely different direction, Mass Effect's getting a TV show. Apparently it's going to be on Amazon.
Honestly, it was only a matter of time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, it feels like it could easily be told in show form, especially if you stick to like the original three games or tell a new story. I don't know. But yeah. All right. Sure. It has all the things that could make a good story if it is good. That is the problem, however, because according to IGN, the executives at the top were really close to greenlighting this thing, but were like, hey, rewrite the script so they're more appealing to non-gamers. Whatever that means. So I don't know what that means about the scripting or what that means for the things, but that's what they've been told. I will say that they have released a casting call list, and I know, Dodger, you will respond to this very well, but for anyone who's not into like Hollywood casting circles and see the way they describe stuff while casting, it's a treat. Because they don't describe a look or like a type. They describe a very specific person type. Right? So the lead is described as a Colin Farrell type male. So just, you want Colin Farrell. Okay. There is another one that I think is great. A Doug Jones type male villain. A Doug Jones type.
Yeah.
Basically a man who's tall, skinny, and can wear makeup.
In a Doug Jones way.
Mm-hmm. There is also, I think, very interesting, they want a female co-lead alien character requiring prosthetics and a female human parallel for a narrative on Earth. Also, they want a male wrestler type soldier. And I just saw a chat and it's absolutely true. One of my favorite things is when actors tell stories about like, oh, I got an audition and it was like for a Doug Jones type character. And then it's just Doug Jones. And he's like, I didn't get the job.
Yeah.
That happens so much. Yeah. So it doesn't look like we're getting Fem Shep, unfortunately. Sorry, nerds. But also, I don't think this is going to be the original trilogy. Because, like, none of these really stack up to that. But I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. It appears that this is a thing that is underway over at Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, oh boy. What is cloud gaming? Amazon announced that it's stopping its offerings for individual games and subscription purchases through its Luna streaming service. Luna, which is basically Amazon's cloud service. Until today, you and anyone else could go on Luna, link your account to EA, Ubisoft, GOG, whatever, and buy from those stores and then play via the cloud on the streaming service through Luna. However, in an email being sent around, Amazon has announced that this feature is going to stop as of today, as its focus moves to a standard and Luna premium services. Players who previously purchased titles through Luna can continue to play those titles until June 10th, at which point they will no longer be supported. However, and they say, you can play through EA, Ubisoft, the GOG stores where you redeemed them. Here's the thing. I want to be like, oh, this is terrible. But also, to the six people using Luna, I'm sorry this is affecting you so much. I'm so sorry.
I don't know anyone that uses Luna.
Neither do I. I know there must be someone, but it ain't anyone that I'm aware of. If anyone watching right now is using it, let me know. I like anyone. But that's probably why they're doing this, because they can't afford to keep paying all the different rates and stuff to these companies to have it. Like, I'm sure there's some sort of
low traffic.
Yeah, money back end thing. But yep. Yep. Luna is a thing that exists. Yeah. Yeah. So cloud gaming, what is it? Then some fun news for next week. We've got a bunch of games coming out. First up, Tamashika is a absolutely stunning looking arcade style shooter. It releases today, and based on what the game looks like and how it plays and what I've seen of it so far, it 100% is, and I mean this in the nicest way, it's going to be the one game that one friend talks about for the next few months nonstop.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be that. Then next week, the game Before I Go releases. It's a Metroidvania game where the premise is literally about your inner child accepting death, I believe is what that, it's like an allegorical journey, but a Metroidvania. I imagine while you're trying to dodge random shit trying to kill you, you'll also be crying, I think is the point of this game.
Right.
Then, also, Dosa Divas comes out. It's a narrative RPG about two sisters who are like cooking meals, fighting off corporations, building a rep with people while they serve food. As far as I can tell, it is the support your local run businesses like restaurants, the game. Here for it. Good stuff. Sure. Then on the 14th, Replaced finally releases the absolutely gorgeous 1980s alt history cyberpunk platformer. It's stunning visually. I don't know what the full game is going to be like, but the demo was cool, so we will see.
Fun,
but
yeah.
I want to know what the full game's going to be like, but visually, they're putting in some work there, so pretty neat stuff. Then later in the week, speaking of visually, we go an entirely different way. Mouse PI for Hire comes out, the third-person shooter inspired by a certain public domain mouse. Is out or will be out, and it's amazing. They sent me a box in the mail and they were like, don't open this till the game launches.
I love that. I love when I get a thing and they're like, don't open it yet though.
I was like, cool. So I have no idea what I just got sent, but I'm really excited to check it out. This is the type of game where I know I'll play. It looks super goofy, so good times. Then on the Nintendo Switch, did I say third person on that? I didn't know if I meant that, but it's a shooter. Sorry. Tamodachi Life comes out on Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Tamodachi Life, living the dream. If you want to get silly with a bunch of weird little characters, this is the game for you. All these games are the exact same goofiness, so enjoy. I can't wait to see people's videos of them being absolute menaces online. Yeah. It looks very, very cute. Definitely a reason to have a Switch right now. And then finally, a game I'm very excited for, but mostly because I feel like I'm going to have to watch other people play it. Pragmata finally comes out Friday next week. You control both a gun-wielding badass and a little robot girl at the exact same time. So combat in that game is literally a girl you're trying to hack while also moving away from a thing that's trying to kill you so then you can break it with the hack and then shoot it dead. I genuinely felt like the oldest man who ever lived while playing it, and I must stress, I love it. I think it's so cool. I love the demo, but I also felt like there's no way later on in this game I'm going to be skilled enough to do what this game wants me to do. Like, early on, sure, sure. Later on, I'm going to be like... I'm not
when they're
good.
Like, and now there's a bunch more mechanics.
Yeah. It's not that it's too many buttons. It's that you're literally doing two things at once, and my brain's like, brother, I don't even. Like, it isn't, oh, there's a bunch of buttons to spam. You're literally doing a mini game puzzle while actively trying to live in the environment, which is very cool. But also, I'm like,
hard.
My brain, it hurts. I don't know. So, yeah, we will absolutely see what that's going to be like later on as you play it. But it looks really cool. The demo was awesome. Can't wait to see what's going on with that one. And that's what's coming out next week.
Yeehaw! Sounds amazing. Jesse, what's coming out with you next week?
Ha ha ha. Man, oh man. So probably a new episode of Scary Game Squad. We'll play something short. But also more importantly, over on the YouTube channel and every Monday now for the next 11 weeks on patreon.com/JesseCox, Octo and I are watching Fast and Furious movies. Our podcast version of our reactions, instant reactions, happen every Wednesday now. So if you want, you can go over to patreon.com/JesseCox, watch the movie. Then on Wednesdays, hear our little podcast about it where we talk through it. Watching Octo slowly fall in love with these movies is great. Is great. And it only gets better because there's moments where he asks questions and I simply can't answer because it's a spoiler. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I have no idea. And he's like, what? What do you mean? That doesn't make sense. And I'm like, I don't know. Don't know what that could mean. It's great. It's a blast.
Perfect.
We still have, I think, 2 movies left to film. So we haven't hit 10 yet. And I genuinely want to see his reaction to this movie because I love Fast and Furious 10, but it is the goofiest one. And so I think he'll be like, no, this is too far. But he may get hypnotized by Momoa, and I'm here for it. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Are you also
it's been a treat.
Are you also watching like the adjacent movies?
Oh, not only are did like yes, Hobbs and Shaw, yes. But yeah, we're also as we go into the second one, for those who this coming week, when you watch, we watch the additional on some of the DVDs and Blu-rays, they had a 0.5 movie. So there's one little short where it's about what happens between 1 and 2. There's one little short about Dom and Letty being in the Dominican Republic. Oh, yeah. So we're watching little shorts and things. Are we going to watch the cartoon? No. We're watching the movies. It's just the movies. But there's little things. So yes, we watched Los Bandoleros. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So good
stuff.
We're enjoying it tremendously. And honestly, some of them are filmed better than the movies. We're like, damn, this is gorgeous. It's like we're watching a documentary almost. Good stuff.
Right.
So, and that's coming down. And then, this weekend I'll probably play Horror Palant and try to do some goofery with Crendor, see if I can find time for that.
Yeah.
If you want to come get goofy, although it'll probably be nighttime when it's like 2 a.m. your time. So just letting you know, knowing Crendor's schedule, he doesn't wake up till 1 p.m. So, you know.
I know. I love that boy. God damn it.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to finish this goddamn game, man. I'm trying to finish Pathologic 3 so that I can move on with my life. Next week is the last bit of spring break for my kiddo. So I'm taking a couple of days off. But Sam and the kiddo and I are going to go out of town for a couple days. But then on the flip side, Saturday is normally a date night. But since we're going out of town, Sam is going to be streaming. So I might also stream tomorrow night. I'm not sure what. So if you guys want to do a co-op thing tomorrow night, let me know.
Hell yeah. I'll message you whenever I find out when Crendor is awake. And I'll let you know. Fantastic. By the way.
Yes.
I totally forgot. Shout out to I want to give them the big bad evil gang that Joe Fudge has on his D&D show.
You're their guest Crendor right now, right?
Crendor and I were brought on as a, if you haven't seen the last 2 episodes, Sam's there. It's like a whole group of absolute goofballs. Love them all to death. But they invited Crendor and I on to be a 2-headed ogre.
Amazing.
And it is, I must stress, pure chaos gremlin energy. They ask us our name and we couldn't decide what to name ourselves, so we have no name. We compete for roles to see who controls the body.
Amazing. That's so
funny.
I don't
know if the most recent episode is out. I have no idea what his life is, but they gave Crendor a shrink ray and I'm going to leave it at that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have given Crendor a shrink ray. And that's, I'll leave it at that, baby.
Oh my God.
It was good stuff.
You and Krendor are a gruesome twosome, so I'm glad you got to do that.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
But yeah, that's everything for me, I believe. But hey, if you enjoyed Geekenders, you can watch all of the previous Geekenderses on youtube.com/JesseCox. And the audio is also available wherever you listen to your podcasts. So we've got plenty of episodes that you could catch up on. Have an amazing weekend and an amazing week. And we will see you next time. So long.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
This podcast is brought to you by Avocado Mattress. And if healthy, comfortable sleep matters to you, this is one organic brand worth knowing. That's because what you sleep on actually matters.
Most mattresses rely on synthetic foams and chemical materials that trap heat, break down over time, or off-gas. Avocado does it differently. Their mattresses are handcrafted with natural materials, organic latex, organic wool, and organic cotton. Designed to be naturally cooling, incredibly supportive, and long-lasting. They're certified organic by GOTS and meet multiple non-toxic and safety certifications. Made for people who care about their health and the environment without sacrificing comfort. I love that Avocado proves you don't have to choose between comfortable, supportive sleep and your values. And now, during our Earth Month sale, you can get up to 15% off Avocado mattresses. Just go to avocadogreenmattress.com. Get up to 15% off at avocadogreenmattress.com. Avocadogreenmattress.com.